We finished already. There's that lamed in Nina. So let's just repeat. We're holding now by Machlokes Beshamer Beis Hillel about the case of Toya. A woman comes in, she was Yatsa Malaya, she was Barre Kanis. The question is, what is it going to take to get her back on track, and how many maximum tefillos is it possible to be mechayev? Yesterday we went through explaining the 95, but we could only get up to 94 tefillos that Beit Shammai was mechayev, and we haven't yet dealt exactly why Beis Hillel comes out with 35 tefillos. However, if you will recall, the way that we analyzed it was rather straightforward. First of all, we hold tefillah b'zman mitzvah. Since tefillah b'zman mitzvah, any time that it's possible that this is the day that she was mechuyevus to be tevelas, she has to be tevelas. Even though the ma'isa, she will not be tohera mitzad asaf. Furthermore, we have to take into consideration the time of such a tefillah. In other words, if this tefillah is because of a suffix, say Avnides, then it should be tefillah Balayla. If it's a suffix of the end of Yemei Tehar, which is another halakha, according to Beis Shammai, a tefillah Yom Oroch requires a tefillah at the end of the long number of days that we all had in of Tefuyay, that's Balayla. However, if the tefillah was because of a suffix of Zivais, that tefillah is B'yamama. Since we have no idea when it is that this later took place, we're constantly in a state of suffix, and we go to maximum in both directions. What we need to be chayshesh is that the later took place as late as possible in order to give her Yumei Tuma. So we'll say the later took place today, the day that she come, that she arrived. And in that case, 1 week we have to be knowing with her Tuma. But we also have to consider that maybe now, indeed, is the day that she's ending her week of Tuma. This could be that the later took place the day before, 2 days before, 3 days before, so on and so forth. So therefore, she can't be Meshameshet, obviously, but we have to be Tevil her every single night. Maybe this is the end of her Yemei Tuma. On the other hand, maybe she was a Yoledes Nekeva. So we have 2 weeks that we have to really be Chayshish, we have to be Tevil. On the other hand, maybe she was Yoledes Azachar Beziva, in which case, what we're really looking at over here is Shivas Nekiyim. Each one of these days may be now the end of her Shivas Nekiyim, in which case we have to be Tevil her in the daytime, because of the last day of Shivas Nekiyim, we'll be Tevil in the day. And then we have to be Chayshish, she was maybe Yoledes in the Keva Beziva, in which case the 3rd week will also have to be Tevelas every single day, because maybe now is the last day of the Shivas Nekiyim of her Shila in the Keva Beziva. In other words, she had to in the day. We're being Tevil her anyway at night, because of the suffix, this is the end of her Yemei Tuma of the Yeleda.
Right, the day except for the 1st week is...
The 1st week we can't, we have to keep as Tomei, because of the tzad that she's a Yoleda Zohar. The 2nd week we also have to be Tevelas at night, because maybe she's a Yoleda in a cave. But the 2nd week and the 3rd week we keep in the daytime also a tefillah, because of the Chashash that maybe we've counted now the Shivas Nekiyim, even assuming that the Leda was in the beginning. So after the 1st week we're counting already now her Shivas Nekiyim. It comes out that during those 1st weeks, we're going to have basically 5 sets of 7 tefillahs, because we have to be tevil her because of the Leda. We have to be tevil her because of Leda's Nekeva. Okay, so that's now 2 weeks worth of tefillahs of Leda at night. We also have to be matpil her the 2nd and 3rd week in the day. That's another 2 sets of 7. where do we get the fifth set of seven? So far, that's only four. So here is where the Gemara comes up with the additional sheet of Beit Shammai. That Beit Shammai holds that wherever you have a suffix, that today may be the day of the close of her Arboyim or Shmoinim, because of the fact that she's now a Tfulas Yom Aruch, since she has a din of a Tfulas Yom, she can't eat Truma until after the end of her Yom Tzeiah. I need now a new Tfilah Bizman a Mitzvah in order to be Matir to eat Truma tomorrow, even though she won't be able to eat Truma tomorrow, because we're still going to be Mitzvah. But nonetheless, I'll feel a Bizman a Mitzvah, she's going to have to be Tevelas. Therefore, she, at night. Therefore, she has to, because that's when her by definition, Tfilah Yom, of course, is at night. Which means that we now have five sets of seven Tfilahs in the course of the first 3 weeks. Correct? Aliba to Beit Shammai. We have five sets now. The rest of the Tfilahs, we also figured out. Because Lamaisa, we're going to have the suffix of every single day being the last day of her Tfilas Yom Aruch. Today may be the last day of her Shemaim Yom. And we'll have that until the 80th day, from the time that she came. In other words, we know it can't possibly be more than that, but it could possibly be up to 80 days from the time that she came. Now, the fact is that the first 2 weeks we were dyed with her anyway, the tefillah of the later. Okay, take that off. Leaves us 66 days. However, those 66 days include also the first week after the 2 weeks of later, the third week. We already counted those tefillahs at night. So you have to take off seven, you're left with 59. You now have 59 days of the suffix tefillah for tefillahs yom oroich, besides the five sets of tefillah in the beginning, which is 35. 35 and 59 equals 94, and this was the question that we left off with yesterday. How did we get up to 95 tefillahs if all we can come up with is 94 tefillahs, Aliba de Beit Shammai? So that, let's go back now to the Flamen Omed Aleph, which is where we had left off. Tishim ve'arba havin, says the Gemara at the end of the third line. Tishim ve'arba havin, tishim ve'chamesh, mayavid etayr, where'd you get the number 85 from? That's outrageous. Can't you add it? It's a 95, it's only 94. Omer of Yirmi Amidifte Kikon Shabbat Fanenu Ben Hashmashot. It's talking about that she had arrived actually Ben Hashmashot. We weren't sure whether it's still time now to be Matril her in the daytime. Ben Hashmashot, Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila. Maybe today was really the first day. Maybe it's still daytime. So we throw in another tefillah at the for the end of that period. However, since it's a Suffolk, we have to start counting the 14. You could turn it off for a second. We start counting the 14 days from the day that we know, which is the first day Vaday, not including the Ben Hashmashot from yesterday. But since there was a chash, maybe there was a chiyuv of tefillah on that day, tefillah bizman a mitzvah, we throw in one extra tefillah from behind, from before, to cover the possibility that it still is enough time in the day to be tayyib. Now, according to Beis Hillel, obviously, I mean, the difference in Beis Hillel, if he's talking only about 35 tefillahs, is we have to take off all of these tefillahs that are there because of the din of tefillahs yom aroich. In other words, he does not hold, and indeed, why would he hold? Well, you need to justify such a din of tefillah. Normally, a tefillah yom goes to the mikvah at the beginning of his day, and at the end of the day is automatically tahar, correct? And if the day takes 80 days, like it does for her, 66 days, she'll go to the mikvah at the end of the 66th day. The sun has set for the first time, so to speak, and now she's tahor. It's Beit Shammai's chiddush that if the end of the tefillah yom is on the same day as the tahor in the mikvah, you should go to the mikvah again. Fine. They still obviously doesn't hold of that. Okay, so we can cut out all those extra tefillahs. So that should bring us down to 35, except to remember that 7 out of that 35 was the first week in which we were doing precisely that tefillah at night. Because we had only come up with 4 sets of 7 in the first 3 weeks. The 2 weeks of the Leda, so we were Tovelas every night, just in case it's the end of her 7 days of a Zohar, 14 days of an Akeva, right? Then we had the 2 sets of Leda. Oh, Baruch Hashem, Zochinu Milotet Panecha. It's not funny, I was already feeling so broken. Now we have 2 more weeks of Ziva, so that adds, okay, the daytime tefillahs. Then we asked on the Tanai, okay, 4 sets of 7, where did the 5th set of 7 come from? So we said the 5th set of 7 was the start of all of the 66 tefillot that we're going to be doing at night, in order to make sure that we have the suffix that at the end of the tefillahs Yom Aruch, that there should be a tefillah of this woman. But if Beit Hillel doesn't hold of that, then I'm very confused, because it's all very nice that we set it up this way. So you think, the first thing you think of when you think 35, as opposed to 95, is just cut out those extra tefillahs, according to Beit Hillel. But the problem is, once you cut out those extra tefillahs, you also cut out 7 of the 35, because you're left with only 4 sets of 7, because the 5th set was one of those 66 days, right? So now how did Beis, now we're in trouble. How did Beis Hillel get up to 35? He's really only got 28 now, right? Uh-oh. Well, what do we do? Ask the Gemara, Ula Beit Hillel, the Amre, Tfulas, Yom Aruch, Lo Beit Hillel. According to Beis Hillel, obviously, he doesn't hold to this din, that you need to go to the Mikvah again at the day that the sun sets. So how does he get Lamed Hey? Where does he come up with 35? 35 Maya Vita Tayyip. Esrim v'tmanya, I understand. I mean, yes, 28 is the way we worked it out before, Kiri Amoron. I mean, but how do you get 35? Ah, 35 comes out like this. Remember that what happened is that after these 3 weeks, there were another 10 weeks, right? Those 10 weeks, 1 week she was being Raya Dam, and 1 week she was not Raya any Dam. Okay? That was the case, as given. Total of 13 weeks. First 3 weeks, we were trying to get her out of the Leda and Ziva situation. Then she had 10 more weeks in which, just to challenge us, she was driving us absolutely crazy. So 1 week she would be Raya all week, the next week she would be clean all week, the next week she would be Raya all week. Okay? Now we did this in order to create this mad laboratory opportunity to see how many Sveikas we could come up with over here. Okay, so now, says Beit Hillel, you're forgetting one problem. Because the 5th week, she's got another issue over here. She's got to go to the mikveh every single night. Why? Because what happened to her in the 4th week? She was bleeding all 7 days, right? Yeah. But she has no idea what that bleeding was, does she? As a matter of fact, the first day that she bled, it might have still been part of her Yemei Torah. I mean, we don't know. We have no idea. That would have meant that the next day that she bled, Monday, was the beginning of her Nidus, right? Ah. So the end of her Nidus was Sunday night, the next week. Okay. So she should go to the mikvah Sunday night. But wait a minute. Maybe actually Monday was part of her Yemei Torah, so she didn't start her Nidus till Tuesday. So she better go to the mikvah Monday night. Oh, wait a second. Actually, maybe it started only on Wednesday, and the other days were for your match. So she better go to the mikvah now on Tuesday night. So every night of the week, she's going to also have to go to the mikvah in the course of the 4th week, or the 5th week, because of the suffix that she doesn't know what was happening to her in the 4th week. So forget about the tefillahs of Beit Shammai. I don't hold the tefillahs of Beit Shammai. But I do hold that when you are confused, you're going to have to certainly cover the possibility that tonight is the night of recovery from 7 days of Nidais, and therefore you have to go to the mikvah.
But even Beit Hillel should have, according to Ishita,
even what?
Beit Hillel, according to Ishita, should have only taken the loss. Should have waited 7 days, and should only go on the last.
No, because he holds tefillah b'zman mitzvah. He also holds tefillah b'zman mitzvah. No, you're right. But tefillah b'zman mitzvah means even when it doesn't help. Since tonight may be the night that you're mechuyev to go. Yeah, even according to Beis Hillel. Absolutely. It's only Rabbi Yehuda who says, just wait till the end. But both Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai agreed tefillah b'zman a mitzvah. The only thing that they disagreed with so far was this question. Is there a chiyuv of an additional tefillah at the end of Tfilas Yom Arok? There's no other difference between them so far.
Would this mean that according to Hillel and what they call that woman who is not married would also go?
Sure. If Lamaisa, we held that tefillah b'zman a mitzvah, you'd have to take care of your Tyra when it comes to these issues. Mm-hmm. So, assuming that the truth is, I mean, the Achronim discuss what's the marker of it before. But assuming that the marker of it is in terms of the Visafra law, in other words, the idea that the Torah insists you keep counts, and going to the mikvah is part of that count, then it has nothing to do with being married. It's just any woman of reproductive age has to keep track of her reproductive facilities.
And purify herself.
And purify herself. Right. Yeah. It's a totally different take on everything. Yeah. Right. And those, but those that hold him a hold, that hold, this is only a din in reproduction. It's not a din. Somebody's tummy is mechuyev to go to the mikvah as soon as he can go to the mikvah. That there's no such thing. Mm-hmm. It's limited to this particular question. Yeah.
How come they don't add to the subject that it could have been happened the week before, and then the first week you would go in the morning as well?
We're going to. Okay. So therefore, the fifth week, Achshavua Chamishi, Madvilin Kol Laila V'Laila, because of the suffix, then maybe it's Ovdidei. Wait. Okay, I understand all this, but I understand the case. Why did you give us this crazy case anyway? I mean, why do we need 10 weeks after the 3 weeks? I mean, I know how to add. You don't need 10 weeks in order to get up to the end of the 80 days. Right? Because that's a total of 13 weeks. 13 weeks is a lot more. I mean, the whole point of it is we're trying to figure out the sfeikas up till the end of the possibility of Yemei Tayar, because that's the only reason she's going to the mikvah. So why'd you throw in those extra weeks over there for? Asarai Shvuyin Lamali, why do we need 10 additional weeks after the first 3 weeks? Bitmanu Pargasagi, all you need is another 8.5 weeks, which gives you 11.5 weeks, which is 80 days. Why do we need more than that? Well, I mean, now we're going to start talking about half weeks. I mean, I didn't find a part of the Shavuot, basically. I mean, we're talking about a half a week, so finish the week already. I mean, keep the case simple. You know, it's obviously such a simple case. I mean, you want to keep it simple. Okay, fine. So, last I heard, half a week still only equals 9. I mean, how'd we get the 10th week in there? Well, because, I mean, we said it's going to be 1 week that's Tameh and 1 week that's Tar. I mean, you want to stop the progression right smack bang in the middle. I mean, you got to give the alternate a chance, right? So to keep it even, I did tana shavua tami, tana dami shavua tohar. Now, hold on a second. Aren't we forgetting the tefillah of zava? We have a question over here. I mean, basically every single week from this point on, she doesn't know what's going on. She can't figure out whether she was Anita the week before, or whether she had actually become a Zava, since she didn't know what that first week is. She's not going to know what anything is from this point on. Because if that first week was Zivas, the next week is Nidas. But if the first week is Nidas, then the next week is Zivas. So basically what's going to happen is that every clean week is going to turn into 7 days worth of Nikiyim, just in case she was a Zava. And then at the end of those Shiva's Nikiyim, she's going to have to need another Tefillah. So how come he leaves, I mean, this Beis Hillel is also agreeing that you have to have these additional Tefillahs. How come he's leaving out the Tefillah, includes over here the Tefillah at the end of week 5, because he has every single day, he's got this problem. So what about the tefillah at the end of week 7, and 9, and 11, and 13? I mean, each one of those weeks is the end of a Shiva's Tekim that he's specific about. So she should require now all of those extra tefillahs. How about that? Yeah. How about that? I mean, Beis Hillel certainly agrees that such a tefillah exists. The point is that he's only interested in giving you the number of tefillahs necessary up until the point that she can sleep with this guy. That's so he's not interested in this exercise of let's figure out all the possible tefillahs. Okay, but Beit Shammai, you see, Beit Shammai is including, even in the upfront tefillas before Tashmish, he's including the din that you have to go to the mikveh every single night on the possibility that tonight is the end of the 80 days. He can't just arbitrarily say, okay, but forget about the rest of them, let's only have that. So, I mean, see, he's talking about all the possible tefillas, right? So he clearly has to include the tefillas that are even after she sleeps with someone. Because that's not the issue. We're trying to look at how many tefillas there are, says Beit Shammai. So then, how come you left out the tefillah of Zava? Remember, I mean, in Beit Shammai, you said, okay, the rest of the time, she just goes to the mikveh every night. So you'll say, well, I mean, she's going to the mikveh anyway at night. But when do you go to the mikveh as a Zava at the end of Shivas Rukim?
In the morning.
In the day. And we already listed those separately back at the first 3 weeks. We listed two additional sets of seven because she has to go be a mama because of Tefillah Bizmana Mitzvah. So if Beit Shammai is ready to list that separately from the tefillah at night, why doesn't he list the tefillot of each one of these weeks? The 7, 9, 11, and 13 tefillahs. He should have now added 4 additional tefillahs. So, Beit Shammai dechosh lakar tashmish, nichshav nami tefillat zava. This is Beit Shammai zava. We're not, look, the whole discussion over here was the question of whether she's a yoledes, not whether she's a zava. Beleida kamayr, beziva lo kamayr. What? The whole point of the tefillahs at the beginning was because we were afraid she was a zava. And now you're trying to get out of it by saying we didn't include the possibility that she was a zava. Vayikra yoledes bezova. How about those first 14 tefillahs that we had in week 2 and 3? That was all because of a suffix zivas, correct? How can you tell me with a straight face that we're not interested in tefillahs of zivas? No, please. Yoledes bezova is one issue. Ziva. I'm not talking about ziva. I'm talking about a yoledes. Now, it's possible. A yoledes is yoledes bezova. But Yoledes Bezova has to treat now the week after the Leda as a time in which she keeps Shiva Sakim. That's part of Leda. Leda Bezova, where she was bleeding before the delivery. And it wasn't included in labor pains, which we'll see much about later on, what defines labor pains, what's Matiah, what is not. That's part of the parsha of giving birth. You're talking about, stop! In the 7th week we have a suffix, maybe she's a Zova. No, that's very nice. That's not the question that we're discussing here, okay? I'm not interested in throwing in all the possible tefillahs that are coming, we're going to come about later because of a suffix zivas. I'm sorry. So ziva gredata, loka chashiv. I'm not looking at a pure question of ziva. I'm looking at a question of ziva that's associated with leida. This whole discussion has to do with leida. But we still have a problem because as Scott asked, why isn't the first week itself also a suffix because of the Shiva Sakiyam of Erzava? You're saying the second week, since the first week she was a Yalezachar, so the second week she is now going to go every single day because actually maybe the first week was her count and it started maybe on Monday, maybe on Tuesday, maybe on Wednesday. So every single day she's going to go to the mikveh the second week because maybe that's the end of her Shivas Nikiyim. Hold on a second. We don't know when this baby was born. How do we know that the first day that she came was not the end of her Shivas Nikiyim that had already begun because the birth took place 2 weeks before that? You don't know. So that means even on the first week, we also should have dunked her every single day. Forget about only the tefillah at night because of the suffix of Leida. How come it's so convenient that we only start now with the tefillahs b'yom in the second week, if we're considering the suffix of Leida b'zov? Right? This was your question. So answers the Gemara. Maybe each one of these days is the last day of the Shivas Nikiyim that began before she had even shown up. Oh, says the Gemara. This is a very important yisod, and indeed this becomes now fundamental to the whole concept of Tyra Bismanaz as well. Amani Rabbi Akiva hi, ki omar bi inan sifurim bifanenu. Shiva Svekiyam is not measured by the reality of not having bled for 7 days. It's measured by the counting of not having bled for 7 days. So that even if we could ascertain that physically there was no bleeding for 7 days, doesn't count a whit towards the Shiva Svekiyam. Since this woman has no idea, that's the whole point, she's coming, I don't know, maybe she's some kind of idiot, doesn't know when she miscarried, doesn't know where she was holding, did she bleed before she had no idea what's going on. Obviously, there's no Shiva Svekiyam. See, even if Lamaisa, this was the end of the 7 days, it would not be Mechayev or Atvila, because it didn't count towards Shiva Svekiyam anyway. There's a halacha of Svira. Even though it says over here, Bifaneinu, obviously that doesn't mean that somebody has to listen to a woman, a Beis Din has to listen to a woman count, we believe the woman's count. But the point over here is that there needs to be a commitment to counting. And there, her commitments here began only when she showed up to Beis Din. And therefore we can't count it until after we finish the suffix now, that we, there never was a Shiva Svekiyam before. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyeh bedvaro.
Amen.
All right. Oh, that's a good kasha. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of discussion of that problem. He uncovers these cans of worms. Rashi, you know what Scott is asking. Scott is asking we had to add an additional tefillah for Bein HaShemashos because of the problem of getting up to 95. But once we do that, then we mess up Beis Hillel by turning it into 36. How come we miss, so now how come we don't have the 36? So Rashi says we don't have 36 because, as we'll see, according to Beis Hillel, we don't count a tefillah that's only one a week. We only go in for groups, you know, exciting tefillahs. There's a lot of problems with that, and Tosfos discusses it too. The Ramban Lamaisa has a very fine Pirush in Rashi, but in any event, we're not ready really even for Rashi's Teretz Kosher in the discussion, because we haven't gotten to that point of the Gemara yet. So let's first continue. All right. Sof Shavua Kama Litbala. But wait a minute. She came to us. She kept Shiva Svekiyam, basically, during the first week that she wasn't bleeding, and we were saying that she's Tamea because of the suffix of the late of the Zohar on the day that she came, correct? Fine, but, I mean, we kept now these days Betaira. You said she already arrived Bein HaShemashos, okay? So she can start counting as Shiva Svekiyam. If she got the Shiva Svekiyam on the last day of week one, you left out the fact that we already could have been tailored in the daytime. And therefore, mumchuyev to see to it that she goes to the mikvah in the daytime. But now that changes everything, because now we should add an additional tefillah. All right. Chag b'shavua lo kamayim. We are not interested in discussing single events. We're interested in discussing patterns. And this is a pattern. Okay. How about Yuma Kama Dasila Kama Mitzvah? Why don't we put her in the mikvah right away, as soon as she shows up, first day, in the day? Why? Maybe she was Roya Dam as a Zava yesterday, one day. She's a Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom. If she's a Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom, she has to go in the mikvah in the daytime. So how come we don't put her in the mikvah then right away? So Yuma Kama, the Asa, the Kaman, Litvala, Duma Shemeres Yom Kineged Yomi. Maybe she's also Shemeres Yom Kineged Yom. What do you do about that? Well, that's a different question over. We're not interested in it. Bezova Gedela Kamayra, Bezova Ketana Lo Kamayra. We are not discussing here. We've already explained to you. We're interested in dealing with issues that Ziva is associated with later. That's what we're interested in. So there's other ketana we're not discussing here. Take the whole sugya together. What do you end up with? Shemamin atlas. There's three very important chidushim that come out from this sugya. First of all, Shemamin Rabbi Akiva, Doma Bina Svirim Lefunach. The way that the sugya is presented forces us to take for granted that Shiva Sakim doesn't count unless they're actually Svurim. One very important Yisrael. Shema Amina, we also see that the way the sugya is arranged, we're forced to conclude, since it says she can't sleep with anybody, until now the Arsh Lashem V'Chamesh, why Arsh Lashem V'Chamesh? We said, what do you mean? What happened? Why can't she go to the mikveh during the day and rely on the fact that she won't see Dom on the 28th day? And we answered,
Rabbi Akiva, if a woman didn't count her seven mitzvahim, she didn't check herself every day and count.
Well, that's already a question. It could be that starting the count and completing the count is the equivalent of a count. That's already a different issue, which we'll discuss later on. But whatever it is, it needs to be counted. It certainly can't be, it can't be by default that she didn't bleed for 7 days and now she's tired. She's tired. So why did we say she can't sleep with this guy until the night? And by the night, she was already Roya again. Because we said it's going according to Rabbi Shimon, who says, don't rely on a tefillah in the daytime to sleep with someone, because in case you end up seeing Dom again, that tefillah is going to be canceled, annulled. And if it's annulled, then it turns out you were sleeping with the guy as a full-class nida. It's not ex post facto now, it's retroactive. Memela says, Rabbi Shimon, don't do that. Don't put yourself into that kind of position. Shema Tovoli De Safek, and we took that for granted over here. We said she can't sleep with anybody until the 35th. And furthermore, Shema Aminat, Tevila Bizman HaMitzvah, the way that everything was set up here, both Alibet Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, seems clear that you're B'chuyev to go to the Mikvah, Tevila Bizman HaMitzvah. Rabbi Yosef, we didn't get to. He says, Dialet Tevila Ba'achrona, and that changes everything, doesn't it? Just that one sack. The law, I mean, a Tevila Bizman HaMitzvah. If you don't know Tevila Bizman HaMitzvah, you don't have to worry about all of this. Save yourself basically 100 Tevilas. If we include the other Tevilas, the Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom, the 4 weeks, means we have to add now an additional 5 Tevilas to the 95, we really get up to 100 Tevilas. So definitely cheaper to go with the So if you take a look at Tesis speaks about Rabbeinu Chananel's Pesach. If both Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel say that Tefillah Bizman HaMitzvah, so then I mean how can we argue with Tefillah Bizman HaMitzvah? Why do you have to say Tefillah Bizman HaMitzvah? Yeah, but Tosfos says, I understand. What do you mean? It's Meisin B'chol Yom. I mean, whoever heard of such a thing? No, we never paskin Tefillah Bizman HaMitzvah ever. We see later on and so on and so forth. Where do you have Tefillah Bizman HaMitzvah? Okay, so this is the beginning of a sugya. We're gonna be discussing this issue. Tosfos Tain is that Lamais Reb Yosef Reb Yehuda would work out things by timing that he's not arguing on Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. In that, we give another explanation. So let's keep this question open and remember that there seems to be a contradiction between the psak and the reality of how that psak is carried out. If the miscarriage takes place on the 40th day from conception, there's no problem. Because, as we saw earlier, 40 days is required in order for there to be a tzura. And up until that, it's considered to be just like water. There's no din of a human product.
How do you know it's 40 days?
Well, normally we would be machmir, but and assume that as soon as conception could have taken place, and if she went to the mikveh, the earliest possible point. Well, the Gemara is going to get into a whole question. But we saw now that Shmuel basically was able to analyze the actual fetal development, and he was able to say this is a 41-day uber, which is actually doable. I'm saying in the modern technology as well. Now the yom. Arba'im ve'achad. Once already, it's on the 41st day. Teshev le'zachar u'nekeva u'lenida. And here we have that mysterious terminology again. Because once we're being yeshev lenida, what you're saying is that you're not sure that this is really a vlad, correct? Because you don't know whether it's really 40 days, you're saying. But then what's the point of mentioning teshev lezachar, as we asked every time we had a problem like this? Just men. If you're not, the only point of mentioning zachar is to let us know how many mei torah she's getting. She's not going to get any mei torah if she's going to be anita. Lanita means any bleeding that she will see is going to be considered to be nidas. So then there's no point in mentioning lezacha. We're finally going to get her out of dealing with this issue. Rabbi Yishmael says, there's no such thing. Why would I have to worry about an akeva? An akeva couldn't possibly exist on the 41st day. Only a zachar could exist on the 41st day. So Yom Mem Aleph, on the 41st day, you only have to worry about a male. And therefore, she could only be Tmeya later for 1 week. Of course, we can't give her Yemei Tohar because it might not be a real fetus. So we're also going to be Yoshe for Anita. On the 81st day from conception, then you have to worry that you have a female. Teshev Lezachar Lemekev Anita. Because a Zachar, indeed, can be a fetus that is called a fetus legabe the din of Leda on the 41st day. But a nekeva can only be a fetus on the 81st day. Vechachamim omrim, echad briyata zachar, vechad briyata nekeva, zev ezer bayyot. Vechachamim say it makes absolutely no difference in terms of the morphology here of the embryo. There's no difference between a 41st day of a zachar, 41st day of a nekeva. Ask the Gemara at last, boy, we've been waiting for this. Lama huskar zachar. I understand, what is the point of saying that she should be a shevitz for a zachar if she's not getting any Yemei Torah? Anything you're going to give her is already included in the keva. So, ili Yemei Tuma hakatane in the keva. If you're going to say, because we want to make sure she's coming for 7 days, you already said treat her as if it was in the keva, in which case she's already coming for 14 days. Then, again, 7 is usually included in 14, so what's the point of adding the first 7? V'ili Yemei Torah, if you're going to be giving her now, the only limiting her Yemei Torah to the end of the 26 extra days, the end of the 40, I thought you said Hakatani Nida. Didn't you say that she doesn't get Yemei Torah? Didn't you say that we're going to treat her as a Nida if there's any bleeding? So why did you mention Zacha? Oh, I'll tell you why I mentioned Zachar. She'im tir'eh yom shloshim v'arba. V'tachzor v'tir'eh yom arba'im v'achad. Tehe mekukelet ad arba'im v'shmone. What happens is like this. If I didn't say Zachar, okay, so then the following suffix would never arise. She sees dam on the 34th day. From her later. This ought to be now from Nidas. That's what you're saying. Treat it as a Nida. Okay? If I treat it as a Nida, so then if she sees again now on the 41st day, so what? She's a Nida for 7 days. So what's the problem? So now she'll be Shomer's Yom Kineged Yom. This is the 8th day. No, okay. She'll be Shomer's Yom Kineged Yom, no problem. Next day she goes to the mikvah, she's taught. But if I tell you that you also have to worry that maybe there was a real Vlad Zachar here, then what's going to happen? The dam that she was on the 34th day, maybe dam tayan. Which means that now on the 41st day, she just started her nidus. And she's going to be Tameya for 7 days. So, therefore, she's going to be completely now messed up because of this halacha that we also have to be chayshish for a zachar to be machmer on her afterwards that would normally would have been looked at as a shomeres yom kineged yom, starts her up an entire 7 days of nida, and the same thing will happen, by the way, legabe the nekeva. The chaylim in the keva, if she sees dam on the 74th day, and now on the 81st day sees dam again, she has exactly the same problem. Because she has no way of knowing whether she's a Shomer's Yom Kineged Yom, who just saw one day beyond a normal period, reasonable enough occurrence. So fine, she keeps one more day of Tyra and goes to Mikvah day later. What's the big deal? But over here, she's not going to have to keep 7 extra days of Nidas. That makes a tremendous difference.
Wouldn't that, even if we hadn't said, wouldn't that have been the case anyway? After 40 days? After she sees, she'll meet you later. Right?
She's always Tamea. That's not the question. The question is, how long is she Tamea? How long will she be a Tamea?
Without saying you're in the Mishnah. I understand that after 40 days, her she's Nida, right?
Without saying Nida in the Mishnah, then she's only a Nida and the other blood is Tahar. How could we not say Nida in the Mishnah? Then the Lamed Dalet would have been Tahar. Rabbi Yishmael Omer Yom Arbein Vechad Teshev LaZachar LeNekiva. Rabbi Yishmael says, so according to Rabbi Yishmael, there is no such thing as a female fetus that could possibly be formed on the 41st day, and therefore, if there's a fetus here on the 41st day, it's got to be male.
You all start off male, and then...
Not really. No, it's because he learns that in the same way that everything is doubled when it comes to women. Double your trouble, double your fun with double men. So therefore, you double your time of Yetzirah as well. In other words, he understands that the Torah is basically being megalah to you. And we'll see, as a deacon in the pasuk, it's being megalah to you that all of the elements of the reproduction in the keva basically stretch over twice the period. Okay. So therefore, Rabbi, here's how the brisa puts it. Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Timei v'tiyer b'zachar, v'timei v'tiyer b'nekeva. So just like when the Torah was Matame and Mataya by a Zohar. So it was 7 and 14, right? Okay. So there we said that the Yetzirato Kayotsebo, the relationship of the Yetzira was proportionate to the Tuma and the Taira. So too, Afkishtime Vitirvanikevi Yetzirata Kayotsebo. The same thing is true. That are proportionate to the tomb of a Tyra of the Nekeva, you have the same thing. And if it's 14 and 80, right? In other words, in the Zohar, what do you have? 7 and 40. The Yetzira is now apparently defined by that 40. It's not a coincidence that up until 40 she has Yemei Tohar. After 40, she's no longer. Right? This is the same period that it would take to be Yotzid of Lot in the first place. And now her system has been restored, so to speak. She's now once again ready for Yetzirah. But the same thing is true of the Nekeva. If the Nekeva is given 80 days, so it means that the Yetzirah vis-a-vis a Nekeva is an 80-day Nekeva. That's how I look at it. Omer lo, this is, why do you jump to such a crazy conclusion? Well, what does the din of Tumah V'Tahirah have to do with Yetzirah? What makes you even think that? And lemaidim yitzira mituma. What makes you think that the yitzira is similar to the tuma? Omer lo the Rabbi Shmuel, and then they said to Rabbi Shmuel, look, you know, it's a nice theory, but the truth is that we've already done experiments on this, and we know that that's not true. Because what happened was that there was a maisa Cleopatra, Malchus Alexandrus, had some maids that she decided to get rid of. So they were supposed to be killed anyway, so she figured we may as well use them for medical experiments. I mean, after all, they left the coffee open overnight. And so what she did is that she got them both pregnant, and then she cut them open. And she found out one of them had a female fetus, and one of them had a male fetus. And they had both been pregnant for exactly the same amount of time. And Marlayam, she says to him, you know, you guys, I understand. You bring me a raya from a bunch of idiots. I'm bringing you a raya from a pasuk. My raya min ha-Torah, I understand. Well, where's your raya from the Torah? Don't give me this thing about your jumping to conclusions again, I hope. I mean, you're certainly not going to tell me that old canard, you know, about Timei Vatir Vizokar, Vatimei Vatir Vinakeva, Makish, Timei Vatir, that whole business. We already answered that to you. Ain Dunning Yitzira Mituma. Don't throw that at us again. No, he says, no, I didn't tell you what I have up my sleeve. Omakra Imnekeva Tele. Now, why is it Imnekeva Tele? Should just say, the Imnekeva. I mean, what else are we talking about over here? A trip to the moon on gossamer wings? So in the keva, if it's in a keva, then that she should be tameh shvoi. Elamai, since it adds a leda, tele dosif lachar katuv leda acheres bin a keva. You need now a double leda in order for it to be in a keva. Would it have to be on the 80th day. Okay, but why is he calling them idiots? I mean, I understand. Well, why idiots? She did a perfectly normal experiment. But you tell me we can't rely on experimentation? That's insane. So my rayim and hashetim, what's so stupid about this experiment? Oh, come on, you got to be really stupid to believe this experiment. How do you know that she wasn't pregnant with this female 40 days before? What kind of crazy experiment is that? You take your assumptions for granted, and then you build on them, and now you tell me, now, see, I have experimental evidence. How do we know that the one that was carrying the nekeva hadn't been pregnant for 40 days before? And the Rabbanim are not idiots. Why do they think that this is a good experiment? Because they said, Sama, the Naftashkino, but we're not that stupid. The experiment began, first of all, by taking hormones to expel all and anything that was in the uterus, and then to start again. So where we found, here we are in the 41st day from any possible conception, because we stopped giving her the medication of the Samad and Afsa, and then they became pregnant. They couldn't possibly be pregnant more than 41 days.
This is like RU 46.
Huh?
Like RU 46.
That's right. Rabbi Shmuel.
Like Dr. Mingle.
It's not the Chachomim, it's Cleopatra. Rabbi Shmuel. Ika Gufa, Deloma Kabo Sami. You cannot rely on a single experiment, on a single body, on how it is that hormones are going to affect that body. I mean, it could certainly happen that this particular individual was not affected by those hormone pills and remained pregnant from before. So, you would have told me you did an experiment with 100 people and so on and so forth. I understand. Don't bring me an experiment with 2 people and say that these are the results of your experiments. That's ridiculous. Omar Lam Rabbi Yishmael, Sid Rabbi Yishmael, and by the way, speaking of experiments, I've got one of my own. Because there was another Maisa with Cleopatra, where Nitchai Vashiprote Arigala Malchut. And what they did over there is they cut him up for 2 different stages. They were Bodek 1 at the end of 40 days, and sure enough, she had a male fetus. And then they cut up the other one and found a female fetus at the end of 81 days. Ah, said the Chachamim, a bunch of idiots. Ain't maybe a riot and a shaitim. You can't bring a riot from idiots. Why are they idiots? What was wrong with this experiment? My time, huh? Because, I understand, Hach Nekeva, Aisrar Boy Newman, Vadari Yadra, that's crazy. How do you know when conception took place? You're saying, and they waited until the 80th day. The 80th day from what? I mean, maybe conception took place 40 days after you thought it took place. Oh, no, we're not so stupid, says Rabbi Shmuel. We had this woman watched so that she couldn't possibly be conceived again because no male got near her. She was in a cell. So, the Shomer Masrino, says the Rabbanim, yeah, the Shomer, right. Exactly. Ain apotropis la arayas. Who exactly is the now reliable shomer when it comes to arayas? Amen shomer gufei baalel. The shomer got her pregnant. You say, what? So the shomer was a woman. So the shomer took money from a guy, whatever the case is. I mean, you're going to tell me we know for a fact. How do you know for a fact? So therefore, this is even a stupider experiment. But wait a minute, the whole experiment doesn't even make any sense. You're saying, we happen to have cut up one of them at the 80th day from conception, and we found it was a female. new, and if you would have cut her up on the 40th day, maybe it still would have been a female. How did you come to this conclusion? Maybe you would have found in a cave that was just as nicely developed as the Zohar. Obviously, what we did is we looked at the equivalent areas of the fetus to see the growth. The growth at 80 days of the nekeva was equivalent to the development of the fetus that was the male at 40 days. And that's why Rabbi Shmuel felt this was a great experiment, since it ended up saying exactly what he thought was the reality. An Egyptian?
Yeah.
Horrors. An Egyptian? Yeah, but you know, Alexander had a tendency to get around.
Yes.
He was Greek.
Yevanit, but he was
Alexander
Greek.
Was Greek.
So
how did they say the scientific method is 800 years old? And a lot of to make an adequate experiment is clearly in here. I mean.
But what, it was inadequate. They both pointed that they were shaken.
Imagine how many people they had to kill.
Yeah, but
maybe
they
didn't get pregnant that day, and then 40 days later she didn't have a child. So they'd kill her. I mean, they'd keep killing people, or she didn't have a community. A lot of people died.
Yeah, but they didn't do it that way. That she had two particular individuals that she was going to kill anyway, so she figured she might as well conduct a little experiment to get some value out of their deaths.
Like the Chinese, you know, like the prisoners, they shoot them out, take them out back, shoot them, and put their organs in a cooler and sell them for $40,000. That's what they do all the time today.
Makes a lot of sense.
Huh? They order, pay you $40,000, they take a prisoner out back, shoot them, and they hand over the organs after them. That's how it works.
Organs
on demand. Fresh.
It's a lot cheaper than providing them with food in the cooler. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea. Sure, it's fresh. Fresh meat.
We'll probably kill them as well in a way that's the most gentle on the organs. Check them, bleed them.
No, they didn't. Actually, when I was a kid, when I saw it on TV, they showed it on the primers, they couldn't believe it. They take a rifle in the back of the head and blew his head off. They showed it right on the news.
Probably wait till they need that organ, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. Fresh.
Keep it fresh.
Well, got everybody tissue typed. No. The Chachamim Omrim, it's a tough world out there. The Chachamim Omrim, Echad Briyas Zohar, Echad Briyas Nekeva. What is the point of reviewing the same thing again? That's what the Tanna Kamma said. The Chachamim now respond to Rabbi Yishmael, no. Doesn't matter whether it's male or female. The Mishnah began with that assumption. Doesn't matter if it's male or female. Teishev Lazachav Nekeva. On the 41st day, it's Rabbi Shmuel who argued. So what do we have to reiterate? No. Makes a difference if it's a male or a female. Still the 41st day. Ask the Gemara. Chachomim, ayin etanakam? V'chi temel amistam areisha karabonon v'yochid v'rabim alokha karabim. If you want to tell me that the reason that we repeat it is to make it clear that the Tanakama is in fact the Rabbonon, the Chachomim, versus Rabbi Shmuel, to teach us that the halakha should be like the Rabbim. I mean, pshita. Whenever we have a mission that has a stam tanakami, and then has an individual being chaylik, I mean, that's the way Rebbe always lets us know. But this is the Rabbim, and this is an individual. But this is different, you see, because ma'adetayim mistav ratayim of Rebbe Yishmael to kamasayim lekroik, because of the fact that Rebbe Yishmael makes a lot of, he's persuasive. He's got that diyuk, he's got that pattern. So people might think that in this case we should talk a pasuk like Rabbi Shmuel. Kamash want to repeat that the Tanakhama is indeed the Das Rabbi. And we pasuk like the Rabbi. Dorash Rabbi Smaloi. Lema havlad domeh bimei imo. What is a fetus like in its mother's uterus? Lepinkas. In those days that is a little pinkas which was folded over. Like we have the fourfold today, you know, when they open up the double picture inside of your magazine. So yeah. It's like a fourfold pinkas.
Centerfold.
It's centerfold, but it opens up on either side, right? So that's what the child is like. It's mikupal, so it's because it's folded over. Umunachi yadav al shtei etzida'av. Basically, what you have over here is that the hands of the uber itself now are folded over so that they come completely across the two legs of the uber. The shtei atzilav al shtei akivotav. So now he's got the atzile yadav. It's a machlokas whether atzile yadav is a reference to the elbows, as Rashi, whether it's the underarm, but it basically ends up being the same thing because if it's folded over completely, it reaches all the way with the elbows coming along the legs of the uber. And now, so in other words, the arms are at its side, right?
Fetal position.
We're describing the fetal position, of course, right? Its legs are bent up so that now its legs reach the atzile yadav. And you have now the shtei akevav, its two heels are against its buttocks, al shtei agvotav. Its head is bent between its thighs, rosho munachlo ben birachav. Upiv satum, it's not breathing through its mouth. The taburo patuach, but the umbilicus is now open, so to speak. The ochel mimasha ima ochelet, and therefore it is eating what its mother is eating. Shota mimasha imo shota, it's drinking from what its mother is drinking. Ve'ino motzi rei, it does not have any defecation. Shema yaharoget imo, that would not be a good thing. We know that that's not a good thing. Ve'kivan sheyatza la'avir ha'olam, the moment of birth, niftach asatum, that which was closed all of a sudden becomes open. That which was open all of a sudden becomes closed in an almost instantaneous transformation. In Molekane, if that wouldn't happen, just shut down. It would just completely, the birth couldn't happen. Then there, while it's in Me'ei Imo, there the Luklo al Rosho, there's a little candle burning on its head. This candle is always a reference, Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam. It's a question explained that the neshama is not part of a fetus. It's waiting, so to speak, for the fetus. It's been miyuchet for the fetus. And therefore it does not function as an emergent property of the fetus, obviously, if it is not formed yet. So therefore it's as if it exists separately.
It comes at birth?
At birth. Mitzofeu mabit misofo olam vatzofo, and therefore it can see from one end of the world to the other, because it's still using the oragonus. Shinema bihilo neiro alei roshi, lo oro eilech, I now will use that or to be eilech in chayshech. The altitame, I don't think that that's so strange, by the way, because when a person is disconnected from his sensory input, he's Yoshen Kan Vorechalom Basfam. He's sleeping in location A and he's dreaming about skiing in Spain. An amazing thing.
The rain in Spain.
Now, how did he get to Spain when here he is in the robot? So, obviously, when he's off of his body, he's easier to roam around, you see. Ve'en lecha yamim shadam sharui b'tovah yoter miotam yamim. There's no better time in this earthly existence than those happy days.
What did we have to leave for, you know?
As we see that Eov, in his worst moments, said, "Mi yitneni ki yarche kedem, I wish I could go back to the early months. Ki mei Eloah yishmereni, the days that God watched over me." So where are there days that only have months? What do you mean months? I mean, you usually refer periods in your life, you refer to years. You said my earlier years. The earlier months? Ezu yamim sheyesh bem yirechim ve'ein bem shanim ha'vayom elu yarchei leida. Clearly these are the yarchei leida. This is a fantastic deal that my Rebbe Rukhaim, he would always make on this. It's a fantastic deal. Eov is in the worst possible position of any human being. It's, you know, he's a metaphor for the human condition. So what's his dream? His dream is to get out of his problem. His dream is perfection. I want the best possible time. There's Ein Lecha Yonim Shavlat Shorui B'Teva. It's not that Adam is Shorui B'Teva. The maximum. First, you never give up for the maximum. Don't just try to get out of the problems. Always dream of the maximum.
But start over.
Then that's the Eitza.
No, he's that's starting over. He wants the Yonim, the best Yonim.
That's the Eitza, not to go to the next step. Like,
it's not the going back. That's not the point.
No, no, but the it's what the rabbi was saying. It's the Eitza to do that, to go for to think about the best, not just like one step of like Menachem Begin says in Revolt, like you have 100 lives to dream about, 50 lives trying to do again like that. He makes a big point about that.
I don't understand. Afterwards, explain to me. I'd like to understand that. Umaladimato kol haTorah kula. And at that point, he is taught the entire Torah. Shnemer vayoreni vayomarli yitmukad dvarai libcha shmor mitzvotai vechyeh. As Shlomo HaMelech said, that God taught me and he told me, your heart should support my words. Keep my mitzvahs and live. The Omer and Ezeov said, Besoda loa alai alai. It was the Ale Ali. It was God who was standing above my Ohel. Why do we need an extra pasuk? What was wrong with the pasuk in Mishlei? My Omer. No, Itaim and Novi with the Kamaram. You could say that basically that was a reference to Shlomo talking as a Novi. Vayoreni. I mean, we find that often in the Novi, right? The Novi says, Vayoreni, the Malach came and said to me. Taught me. That was Al Nevius. That wasn't because I was a Vlad Bime'eimi. But here, Eov here is continuing the discussion of Yarche Kedem. He's saying in Yarche Kedem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Meirehem. And that means that there really is a hero of Terah in the womb. V'kivan sheba la'avir ha'olam, the moment that he begins now an independent life in the world outside of the womb, bo malach v'satra al-piv, comes Olam Malach, smacks him across the mouth, Meshach Chokol HaTorah Kula, makes him forget everything. Shinemar Lepetach Chatat Rovetz. Right at the gateway, there starts now the off the mark. But he never gets out into the world until he takes an oath. What is his oath? How do we know that? Shinemar Kili Tichrak Oberach Tishava Kol Hashon. So Kili Tichrak Oberach, everyone will end up bowing to me. Ze Yom HaMisa. Doesn't matter what a guy thinks he has. On the day of death, he recognizes Li Tichrako Berach. Then, and it says, Lefanav Yichru, Kol Yordei Afar. Anyone going down into the dust bends and it accepts the fact that he has nothing. And then when it says, Tishava Kol Hashon, Ze Yom HaLeida. Tishava, apparently there is a Shvua that Leida comprises. There has to be an acceptance of birth. And where do we see that? Someone who didn't swear falsely. Now, it doesn't mean stam. Someone who didn't swear lo nishbali mirma. What a particular shvua that makes him. I mean, a person who's going to be on Har Hashem. I mean, nobody's allowed to swear falsely. It says mi alev Har Hashem. So it's got to be referring to a shvua that is kolel everything. That's got to be a shvua that every individual takes at birth.
That's how you come into the world against your will.
Okay, but you don't get out there until you make that shvua, because the truth forces it on you. Mahi ashvua shemash biinotam. What is that shvua? Tehi tzadik ve'alti hirasha. Afilu kol olam kulo omrim lacha tzadikata. Don't follow what it is that people believe, and don't follow the way the common wisdom is. And you have to follow your own sense of the truth.
Who is Mashbia? Is this the Malach?
They. The Avi Yodea, and this is all part of the information that's given to the Vlad, Avi Yodea, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Tahor, Umishoratav Torim. When the Shamash and Atambecha Torahi, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Torah. Anyone who is Misharis, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Torah. And this neshama that's been given to you is also Torah. So imata mishamra v'tahara mutah. If you'll take care of it to give it back to me, Torah, then it's good. If you can't take care of it, I'll take it away from you. It's going to hand over truma to Amoretz, is what he's doing. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives over the neshama to an Amoretz. Every human being is a total Amoretz. He has no idea what he's supposed to be doing with this. So he tells him, you better take good care of this truma. Because if not, it's going to be truma to Bayer, and we're going to burn it. And that's going to be the end of your truma. So too, an individual, okay, says, well, I don't know anything about it. Well, you better find out. Because if not, then any sort of other fun.
Wow.
Great stuff.